Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Give us a shout out on Instagram by posting a story if you're listening to the show and link back to us at Gays Revolting Pod, or join our Facebook group at The Gays Are Revolting.
And of course, if you're listening to this on its release date, then our live show is tonight. So if you are coming along, don't forget to prepare your questions for our Q&A, and we'll see you then. And on the panel today, we have three of the four usual hosts. Sitting to my left, there is Kyle Dowsett, the man that is single-handedly proving that anal sex really is for assholes. Mikey, who, like the Melbourne public transport card that he's named after, is cheap, unreliable, and no one in Melbourne wants to use him. And of course, Luke, who's not here because he did not spark joy for us. Luke is unfortunately not able to make it to our recording today, but we are looking forward to having him at the live podcast tonight.
That's so weird to say. Tonight.
Are we excited for the podcast?
I'm so excited.
Definitely not nervous and definitely very excited.
Oh, Kyle, don't be nervous. It's not like you say anything on the show anyway.
Oh! Yeah, I'm just... Okay, fine. Just get a blow-up doll with like a brown wig on it.
Done. So good.
Thanks for coming to the Midsummer Extravaganza.
That was so good.
So amazing.
It was so much fun. I was really sad I didn't really get to see you guys much because I was obviously... So the show's produced by myself, Trevor Ashley, and the Arts Centre. Yeah. So I was running around backstage the whole time, also sorting out all the guests. I did see you really briefly before the show, so I had to walk.
No, you were like, where the hell's Carlotta? Yes. I was like, what?
So we had like the lineup very diverse. You know, we had incredible people. Reese Nicholson, Zoe Coombs, Joel Creasy, the incredible jazz singer Mama Alto.
Mama Alto, oh my god, so amazing,
so good. Cole, I'm very impressed.
But of course, we had Carlotta, the original lay girl, the most famous lay girl, and also a pioneer of trans representation in Australia. Did an incredible job. But so before the show, we walked all the artists down to walk through that red carpet, and the foyer was full of people, and so everyone's trying to grab at the artists and stuff. So I said to the artist, "I'm going to have my hand up, stay in a tight straight line, follow me, and we'll go back through this. There's this hidden door in the wall that goes back through backstage." So I'm standing at the door. I've got like 20 artists following me behind me, and I'm counting them as they're going through. I'm like, "Yep, Yummy, here. Yep, Joel's here. Reese is here." Blah blah blah. I get to the end of the queue. I'm like, "Where the fuck's Carlotta?" I've lost this like 70-year-old like icon of the LGBTI community somewhere in a sea of people, and she's got to be on stage in 10 minutes. So I'm just running around the foyer, like, running onto anyone I know. "Where's Carlotta? Where's Carlotta?" So that's why I was so panicked when I saw you. But
it was a fantastic show. If you all missed out, you missed the hell out.
So it was just
one night only. Yeah, and the idea is we're going to build it up bigger.
I was very impressed.
Like, I knew of Carlotta through social media and stuff, but I'd never seen any of the stuff that she'd done.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
She's so
funny.
Yeah.
Really, really talented. Yeah. Loved her so much. And Mama Alto was sitting right in front of me for the first half of the act, right. And I had no idea. I was just like, "Oh, she's gorgeous. Yeah. I love her." And then saw her on stage. I was like,
"We were so close."
Oh my god.
And how incredible to hear Mama's voice in a 2000 seat venue with a 9-piece band, you know?
Well, I hope you do it again next year.
We definitely are doing it. The Arts Centre have already said they want to do it again next year. And I reckon it'll be bigger and better. I can't wait.
So, guys, I'm not sure if you're aware, but winter is coming.
Winter.
And is, I mean, yeah. Anna Winter. She's coming for Margaret Court.
Yeah. Oh, did yeah. You see? It's amazing.
Yeah. So, for our international listeners, we've actually just had the Australian Open here in Melbourne.
Or just like me. I don't know anything about sports.
Yeah. Where sports happens.
Yeah. Tennis? But this one?
Tennis.
Yeah, yeah. It's tennis. We have two big stadiums, Rod Laver Arena. And then we also have the Margaret Court Arena, which is named after a big shot tennis player from back in the day, but
turned extremist religious.
Yes. Yeah. So there was a whole lot of controversy last year because she announced that she would be boycotting Qantas. Because of their views with same-sex marriage and supporting the LGBTQI+ community. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's
she's
been a
also
lot of
like a big voice in the no campaign for marriage
she's
equality.
Just, she was like a really cool tennis player. And now she's like a grizzled old homophobe.
Yeah. Was she cool though?
No, I don't know. I don't even know. Cool. I wasn't here, but like I assume people thought she was. But so many people called for a name change for the arena.
Yeah.
From Margaret Court Arena, which makes absolute sense because like it's not just tennis matches and sport that happens
Pink
there.
Pink played there for like 3 months, didn't she? Yeah.
A lot of music concerts and shows get played there.
Oh, she puts on a good show.
So Anna Winter, when she was delivering her keynote, addressed this and she was saying that we should change it.
Which I thought was impressive of her. She was out as an official guest of the Australian Open and spoke at
it. No fear.
You know, like not having a go at the Australian Open, but saying, you know, that the landscape on the Australian sports scene, especially tennis, has become one that's a lot more inclusive than it was.
That's it.
And that this doesn't really reflect Australia's evolving attitudes, you know, towards inclusivity as a broader community, not just as an LGBTI thing. People have sort of had a go at her.
They're saying like, oh, why didn't you just stick to fashion magazines and fashion Vogue and calling her not inclusive either.
Her views
on, I guess, Vogue stuff.
Oh, because of Vogue. I don't totally buy that either. I mean, I know everyone in Vogue is beautiful, but like people seem to think she's Miranda Priestley. Like, I think
which
people,
she's not at all. It's not. Like, she is actually the loveliest person.
She's more.
To be honest, I don't. Yeah. I don't know much about her. She just has that bob and wears sunglasses, and I don't know anything.
Oh, you should watch. What's the documentary called? The September issue.
Yeah, the September.
I can totally see where they took the inspiration for Miranda Priestley.
For in sure.
But it is. She's not the same person. So like going for a saying like you're a nasty bitch is just not a parallel because Margaret Court was saying that trans children are the devil's spawn.
Yeah. Yes, she said a lot of terrible
magazines
together. And how are tennis players of the LGBT community and performers in that space? That like that's not good. Like
the Icelandic band Sigur Rós that played at Margaret Court last year had its special merchandise made just for their Margaret Court Arena concert.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the money raised from that went to like supporting LGBTI youth and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I get the court was named after her because of her tennis achievements.
Absolutely,
But also, when you're a person with a position of power, if you use your position for hate, it's the same as the Barry Humphries thing, basically.
Yeah, that's
if you're using your position for hate, you shouldn't have things named after you.
No, you shouldn't.
I'm not saying you're not allowed to say that stuff. Everyone's allowed to say whatever they like.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't want to have a public...
But if you're going to have something named after someone, they should be like the Mother Teresa, inclusive,
Really
happy.
Exactly right. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Accepting person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's annoying because like she's turning around and saying like, oh, you're trying to repress my religious freedom of speech. And it's just like, no.
Just don't be an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, we're just trying to get you to not
don't
be an asshole about stuff.
The
like,
devil's spawn.
Like, what is wrong with you? And like, she said about Anna Wintour, she's just like, well, she's a foreigner. Who is she to comment on Australian politics and what's happening here? And she's
very
like,
on brand.
Well, she's standing up for the LGBTQIA+ community like she would anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, why is that an issue?
Could also, she was invited as a representative of the Australian Open. So, of course, she should speak her mind about issues within the Australian Open.
Yeah. I think it's really like a weird concept naming things after people that who are still alive because they have so much room to fuck up and go like south and you're like, oh, well, that was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a competition to name all the new train stations for the new train.
People always come up with really ridiculous things, don't they? Like training
their government's still going to choose. They said specifically that you weren't allowed to enter any names of anyone that's currently alive. And I think it's
because
we have like Dame Edna Lane in the city and everyone wants it changed now because of his comments. And so I think they sort of learned their lesson and then don't do that
just
anymore.
Name it the Marvel Stadium. Wait.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that someone wanted Tina Arena.
Tina Arena.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Or the Joe Hall Hall.
Oh. Or
the Carrie Ann Kennel.
If it was, you could name after Pat Rafter and be like, it's packed to the rafters.
Oh, goodness.
Anything's better, really, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So it seems like a natural progression to go from Margaret Court to the next topic then, which is something that we've talked a fair bit about, and it's the marriage equality survey that was held. So new statistics have been released, and it's the biggest batch of statistics that they've done. So they interviewed 1,305 same-sex attracted people about their general mental health, but also about things that were happening during the debate. So the survey happened during the debate, and the results have just been released now, because obviously there's quality assurance and all that sort of stuff. And unsurprisingly, it wasn't very good.
Oh, really?
As we all said,
they weren't
said
very
it
happy
be.
About that.
Yeah. Generally speaking, LGBTI youth had the worst mental health across the country. That was increased more so if they're a person of color or from certain backgrounds socioeconomically. They worked out how many, depending on what area you were living in, how much you're exposed to the No campaign and the Yes campaign. Yeah. People that were more exposed to the No campaign had felt a dip in their mental health state as they were seeing it. And also, they asked a question about, which I found very interesting, how you felt your immediate family and friends would be voting. And the people that thought that their family and friends would be voting no were also in a worse state as far as their mental health goes. Again, all stuff that we were fully aware of and everyone wanted to deny and didn't listen to us or the experts about it.
Well, that's it. Like, the mental health organizations all said, this is what's going to happen.
If you do that.
Like, nah, it'll be fine.
Yeah, and like, the government was just like, no, we'll just do it anyway.
You're literally voting on people's personal
what are you talking about?
It's
so
it's actually insane to go, now that it's been a bit of time, because it's been over a year now, it's actually crazy to go back and think about that.
How fucked is that?
It was
like, all these random
awful
people. People who shouldn't have a voice. Like, all these random
like
bogan haters giving them a voice for them to hate.
And what the fuck
people
does Bob Katter know about, you know, this politician up in Northern Queensland who says that there isn't even a gay person living in my electorate? Well, then you shouldn't get to have a say on it if you don't know any gay people.
That doesn't,
there's absolutely no reason that you need to have a say on people that you don't know's rights. Yeah, it's really interesting seeing these, like, these cold hard facts come out now. And my
question those facts, were those facts for the time it was happening? Or is it our current?
It was both a general survey about them, everyone's mental health.
Yeah.
But the survey was taken before the results were posted about the things.
So it's not like our current state right now.
Well, all statistics are released like a year later. Go through it
and analyze
everything.
Yeah.
That's the word. Thank you. So I think it's fair to say it's a generally current reflection of the LGBTI community in Australia's mental health. My question is, like, what do we do with this now? I really feel like we should be going to the politicians and saying, right, you know how you cut funding for mental health with the LGBTI community in certain states, like, that definitely is going to have to come back now, because look what you've done. And using this as a tool. as a tool to sort of fight for that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm a 32-year-old very strong gay man that lives in inner city Melbourne and hangs out pretty much exclusively in the theatre and LGBTI scene.
Very
and
immersed.
I still very much feel myself affected by it. Like, I feel like it really polarised people and gave a voice to these people who for some reason are still being hateful and saying awful stuff, like Margaret Court, you know? I remember, you know, friends of my family who were voting no and having outright discussions with them about my rights and then telling me that I was confused about what my rights were.
What?
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're having conversations with people and they're like, oh no, you do have the same rights as anyone else. You can marry a woman. It was angry, like these frustrating, angry, awful conversations where you felt like you were just screaming into a pillow and nobody could understand it. And, you know, we've talked about those feelings we've talked about on the podcast as well. When we were staying up till 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, just reading articles, just trying to find much information as possible, because it was our lives that people were voting on.
And it was so easy for them to comment and say anything they'd like.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they jump on a forum and say something nasty and you're sitting there reading every single word. The like, people that didn't want it, it has had no effect on them now that it's happened.
I mean, I have this like memory that just stuck with me when it was all happening. I was working in retail at the time, and this like bogan woman who used to work in the department next to me, I was in a department store. She was like, how's everyone voting? I don't know how I'm going to vote. Like, I'm really Christian, like, but gay people dress really nicely. So I know a lot of gay people. I'm like, must be so nice for you commenting on my life. And you people like you get to make this
because
decision.
Because of how you dress.
Because, I was like, and she wasn't aware of my sexuality at the time. So she was just freely speaking.
Like, you didn't work at like a Rivers store or something.
Oh my God.
You wouldn't be dressing as well.
Oh boy.
No way.
But making all this commentary in front of me. It was just, I could feel myself boiling, but at the same time, I couldn't speak up and I couldn't say anything. Yeah. And that was like the worst kind of dread feeling.
Because you were still in the closet?
At work. At work. Like, I was friends with like a lot of the older women and people there, but I was out to maybe two or three people at work. And so they were just speaking openly in front of me about their thoughts and how they're going to vote, just so blasé about it. I'm like, fuck you. Like, this is my life. This is my brother's life. This is so many of my friends' lives. And people like you, with your horrible, uneducated views, get to decide how I live.
Yeah. If you can be bothered taking the letter to the post.
Exactly. Yeah.
So going through all of that, like during and before the plebiscite, did you feel it was a good enough time for you to come out, or like did you feel yourself sort of retreating back into yourself, hearing all these different comments?
I don't know. Like, at the time, I wasn't particularly hiding my sexuality, but I was definitely not promoting it. And I think when they were speaking like that in front of me, I was like, I don't want them to see me in this way.
Yeah.
And I guess I did retreat a bit. Yeah.
And then being mature adult women who work in retail, I don't want to be rude, Kyle, but they would know. They would have a good idea that you were at least questioning your sexuality, especially considering, you know, you might not have talked about being gay, but you weren't talking about being straight either.
Yeah.
So those are mature aged women in the workplace having these conversations in front of you, knowing fully well that there is a good chance that that would be affecting you on the inside. And I imagine the poor kids that are sort of this few steps before where you were at that point that are still coming to terms with their sexuality themselves, seeing these people like Bob Catter, who have no education on the topic whatsoever, on television spewing this hate, fucking Fred Nile up in Sydney, pig of a human being, saying all this stuff on television. As far as a kid knows, that person is an expert and everything they're saying is 100% true, and they're starting to say,
well, that's it, like, kids are very impressionable. Yeah. And like, if they're shown stuff on the news, they seem to think that it's true.
Yeah, right? I mean, can you imagine same-sex couples walking around with their kids and then seeing a giant vote in the sky in Sydney? That, like, how fucked is that? Like, you're having to explain to your kids what is happening.
So one of my good friends, she hosts a night called Unicorns Night, and she does all these great things for the LGBTQA plus community. So during the plebiscite, one of the mums that was in the No campaign made a comment publicly saying that you are sexualizing children to this person, Delcy, which is one of the most incredible youth workers in Melbourne, and was defaming her all online. And she had a really horrible mental crash. And it's literally just come out in the last week that she is now taking this woman to court to sue her for defamation of character.
Fantastic.
And when that went through, this woman put out a public apology saying, I'm so sorry for those comments. I shouldn't have said that. That was really wrong. And it's just like,
yeah, once you're getting,
I'm sorry, no. You're being pulled up now. Like,
too little, too late, bitch.
That's it. Like, you were a part of those ads. You knew what you were saying. Yeah. You knew what you were doing. Yeah. Back it up.
Oh, this is like dredging up so much. Just like, like getting back. I'm like getting so angry just thinking about all that stuff. You kind of.
And we had to wait for so long. Like, that was awful. Just waiting and waiting. Even after they closed the, you know, you had to have your things in the letterbox by a certain date, so it got posted by a certain date, and then we just waited. It was awful.
Yeah, wasn't good.
Do you feel that your mental health now is better since it's been passed?
I'm feeling generally better since it got passed. Yes, absolutely. Seeing the celebrations and stuff was really nice, but I would say that there is scar tissue that will never heal for the whole Australian LGBTI community.
Still lingering. Like, so Josh and I, we like to play this game called, I call it Are You a No Voter? And so, especially because, like, when the plebiscite was happening, like, when we were in public together, I am more than happy to hold his hand and be affectionate.
Yeah.
But, like, even still to this day, you can still see people out in public and look at you in the most distasteful way.
Yeah.
And, like, we like to make light-heart of the situation. Just like, haha, you're a no voter. Yeah. We won.
But that's what you have to do. That's how you have to survive.
Like, get through it. And even when we're not being lighthearted and funny about it, I still see it happening. And it just fucking breaks my heart to see it directed towards him, because I know he is such a great person. I love him so much. But it just makes me think, like, if you're looking at me this way, how are you looking at children that are questioning how they are right now? Like, what the fuck is wrong with
and
you?
And your poor children, if you, you know, if these people have children, imagine those poor kids, if they end up coming out and having to do with parents like that, you know? I always find myself when I'm on the train and I see, like, a gay couple or a lesbian couple, especially if they're younger than me, I'm always, like, staring at everyone else on the train.
Oh, like, looking for everyone else's reactions.
Like, going for
if you go for them, I will jump in and beat the shit out of you. Like, just,
I'm not above picking
like,
an old lady.
Don't you dare say it. Don't you dare say it. Just sitting behind this poor little gay couple.
But it does give me, like, a little kick every time you see someone holding hands. Like, no.
Absolutely. Like, that was just not done. Like,
I mean, I make jokes. I'm like, what they do in the privacy of their own life. But I'm like, nah, that's really cute.
But like, when I was 15 and started coming into the city by myself or with my friends 17 years ago, there was no way. Nah. My Mikey, you would have been doing the same. There was no way 17 years ago you would see a couple walking
around. Not happening.
Well, I mean, I was
lying in the gardens. Yeah, you were too.
I was in Africa.
Yeah, lying in the gardens holding hands, or even at the theatre holding hands. Yeah. You know, it's beautiful that we have evolved that much, but there's still obviously a lot to go.
It's a long way to go.
Totally. I remember, I think one of the first boys I ever had, like my first kiss with a boy, it was back in Brisbane where I live in Brisbane, and we went out for a coffee, and I just remember he put his head on my lap in the grass, and I remember just absolutely freaking out, and I was like, who is looking? Yeah. What is happening? I can't deal with this. And I had to like push him away. I couldn't. And it's nice. I've grown so much since then. I'm especially also since being on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm a lot better now. Like I'm like, fuck you, I'll fight you. I'll kiss my good. I'll kiss my giant hulking boy in front of you. What are you gonna do about it?
It's so nice to see it. And like you posted a beautiful like little boomerang of you and him kissing the other day. And I was like,
I jerked off to that.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
It was so nice.
We were at the Midsummer Carnival and I was quite wasted on box wine. But someone took a really cute boomerang of me kissing my boyfriend, and I would never post anything like that. And I was even drunk at the time, and I still had that horrible thing, and I wrote sorry straight people on it, and then like posted it, and I got this like message from my mom. She's like, why the fuck are you sorry? Don't you ever be sorry for who you are. I can't believe you said that you said that made me so angry. I was like, oh, thanks mom.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And being at work viewing so many marriages, and since the yes vote, I get such a little kick now that I can have that now.
It is
a possibility.
What is your attitude towards marriage? I'm not saying specifically like your boyfriends that you currently have, but do both of you want to get married?
Like before the plebiscite, as I've said before, like I was a fool, like not gonna happen. Mm-hmm. It's not in my world.
Absolutely.
The moment it happened, I was just like, okay, I'm gonna get married now.
I'm planning my
Yeah, for sure.
I think absolutely the same. Ever since I was little, I've never seen marriage for myself. Even like before I knew my sexuality, I just thought I never needed a piece of paper to prove how I felt about someone.
Look, some people do see it as just a piece of paper, and that is fine for those people. But there is obviously more to it than that for the people.
Yeah, I know
that.
More
to it. Yeah.
As every day goes by, and I stare at so many weddings a day, it really has an effect on you. You're like, oh god, it's so cute.
You'd be like such a bridezilla though, because you've seen so many brides.
So many. Yeah.
You would know exactly.
Yeah, you know all the trends, all the do nots. Yeah, but every day that goes by, I can see it for myself.
Yeah.
It is a possibility, I think. Yeah.
What about you, Thomas?
I'm definitely getting married.
Yeah.
Gonna find somebody. I don't know. On the cookie rooftop.
Yeah.
Middle of summer.
It.
Oh yeah.
And I'm having little rooftop. Australiana foods. So like a fancy little sausage rolls and Lamingtons.
Like fancy just little with, like garnishes. Something like Vegemite.
Like
a box of Vegemite shapes.
Yeah. No. It'll be like a deconstructed Vegemite shape or something like that.
Beautiful.
And Australian native flowers everywhere.
Beautiful.
I guess, coming out of this and seeing how this was handled and how people debated it and the results that have come out as a result of the result.
Yeah.
It's important to sort of look at other debates that are happening. And there are more debates. You know, we've evolved onto different things now. And keeping an eye out for like our trans brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
And making sure that we're involved in those debates as well, and taking some of the brunt of that debate, I think. The fight's not over because we've got marriage equality.
Oh,
like, and we are a team. Like, you're supporting everyone that's good.
That's it.
No matter what walk of life, if it's somebody's rights, I think it's important. We know what it's like now to have to fight for
absolutely.
That. So it's really important that we're doing that.
It's always about being about doing people. The right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be good going forward to listen to like whatever group of people that is going through some sort of debate about what they're feeling and how they think that it is going to affect them, as well as mental health professionals as well.
Yeah.
Take their opinion seriously.
Absolutely.
Like, let's put it all together.
Yeah. And keep fighting.
Keep fighting the
good fight. The good fight.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I've fallen in love with the cutest, most humble little woman I have seen on Netflix recently. Oh. Her name is Marie Kondo.
Oh, I thought you saw Ellen DeGeneres' special.
Oh, no.
Okay, everyone's talking about Marie Kondo, yeah. And I haven't watched it yet because okay. It does not sound like it's in line with my life.
Yeah. Your religion.
Okay. Explain it,
well,
please.
I'll fill you in on Marie Kondo. So she is a professional tidier.
So is my mom.
She goes into people's homes and yeah. She teaches them how to organize their mm-hmm. lives and sort of let go of stuff that they don't need using what she calls the KonMari method. So you go room by room and you do it little by little. It gets very messy first before it gets tidy.
Right.
So the first one, you start with clothing and then you move on to books and then papers and then miscellaneous items. And then finally you do sentimental items.
Oh, right.
So the way she goes about it is you start with one category, you pile everything you have in that category into a giant pile.
Oh my God.
So do that anyway, but I just leave it that way.
So that you can like visually see how much stuff you actually have.
Yeah.
And then yes. She gets you to go.
So just the stuff in the room.
No. So just the stuff in the category. So clothing. So you grab every piece of clothing
from
that you
house.
Have from the house.
Oh God. Okay.
You pile it all into one big pile.
Now do I separate them into different drag
no.
characters?
No.
You're getting sidetracked.
Literally like everything in just one big thing. Okay. And you go one by one with each piece, and if you pick up a piece of clothing and it sparks joy, then
name of her book, Spark Joy.
Yes. Then that's something that you'll keep. But if it's something that you pick up and you're just like, nah, I can get rid of this, you get rid of it. And
okay.
surprisingly, yeah. a lot of people get rid of more than like 50% of
wow.
each category.
So does she go in the show, does she go around to people's houses and
Yeah. Wow. So people,
with their permission. She doesn't just like break and enter. She doesn't just break and enter and she's like, nah,
she
you don't need
like,
any
hey.
Of this.
This yeah, is how much many. I hoard. I have a drawer that is just full of empty bottles of Amel and Prep in case
yeah.
I one day ever make an art piece out
you
of it.
You just make like a king's cup. Like,
yeah. like, no, I was like, oh, I might do like a headpiece for Mardi Gras or something out of Prep and Amel. I don't know.
Wasn't another one of her things, when you're dividing up all your stuff, the things that you're getting rid of, you don't just throw away into a pile. You have to thank it.
Yeah, so you hold it and you thank it for what you've had it for and
past
then you
joy.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And another really cool thing that I liked is that when she goes into the house, she gets them to show them everything in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And then before they start, mm-hmm. she's like, okay, so what we're going to do is we're just going to sit down and thank the space for
yeah.
giving us protection and
yeah.
for everything.
It's like a little meditation.
Do you know, I'm not a hugely spiritual person, but I
yeah.
do quite like that concept. Mm. I think we don't attach enough value to physical objects,
no.
which is really bad.
People always say the opposite. Don't material.
Sorry. No, what I guess, yeah, you're right. But also yeah. that we get rid of them too easily.
True.
It was so everything's so disposable these
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
Consumerism.
Yeah. Like some
people
stuff
don't fix things
years.
Anymore.
Yeah, but people just throw it out and
yeah.
it's like, well, hang on, can that be used by somebody else? Can
mm-hmm.
that
that's
yeah,
it.
Let's attach value to it and appreciate that we've
yeah.
had it and then look at it and don't just destroy it all.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's been really interesting because I'm moving house at the moment. I'm moving in with my partner Josh.
What a great time for you to implement this.
Well, yeah, it's been perfect. And so like I was binge watching it today because I had the day off and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try this because like I have so much shit and
mm-hmm.
let's just see how this goes. And I did it with all my clothing today. I piled it all up and went one by one through it all. And like, I actually felt really good about
really?
Thanking everything that I had and
okay.
letting it go. And I was just like, oh my God, this works. Like, this
I've
is
got
a real thing.
I need to do this.
Yeah,
and she's the cutest
it.
Human
oh
being
God.
I've ever seen. It's like she's a live action version of Pikachu. That's not Ryan Reynolds.
That's good.
Yeah.
But no,
you know.
And so, and like with all the clothing and stuff as well, it's really cool the way that she shows you how to organize
mm-hmm.
everything and like sit down with your clothing, fold it in a way,
yeah.
and then stack it all in your drawers or like
mm-hmm.
wherever you hang your stuff that you can see it all.
Yeah.
Because that's another problem is that you have so much stuff
yeah,
that you
just
sort of put away.
Yeah,
you can't see it. So it's like out of sight, out of mind.
Mm.
The amount of crap. is astonishing.
We watched like the first episode, Duncan
yeah.
and I. The next day I came over to his house and I opened his drawer, like grab a shirt or something.
Yeah.
And they were all tiny little pyramids. Oh. I was like, seriously, in one day? Like, you're crazy.
I have to fold all my shirts in pyramids?
No, it's like
a little
rectangles
thing.
And they're like, so the way you fold it, they're
shirts.
Like a little rectangle and you stand them up.
It looks
like
visually very pleasing.
Triangle, yeah.
But
I'm not going to be able to commit to this.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you reckon the Salvation Army have just been in?
I know, that's what I was thinking. They're just
every,
like waiting
yeah,
at the doors.
It seems like
yeah.
everyone in every country is
Everyone's
watching
like,
this.
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Salvation Army have just been inundated with like Mambo and Stussy's
yeah.
t-shirts and
yeah.
old Will and Grace box sets.
Oh my gosh.
And they're also two episodes with queer couples. So there's a gay couple and a lesbian couple on the show.
Maybe I'll watch those
Is really good to watch. But get through it. Like, after the first episode, it does get a lot better. It's really
good. It sort of feels like a tamer version of that show, Hoarders.
Oh, my... It totally is.
Their lives are a wreck.
Yeah. Like, it makes me feel better about myself. Yeah. When I'm just like... But I don't have, like, paint buckets full of my own shit in the backyard.
That's why, that's why these shows are so great, though. Don't they just make you feel so much better about your
life?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Lifestyle porn or something like that, I think the phrase is for it, of like seeing how awful other people's lives or how other people live their lives.
I'm for it.
Makes you feel better.
100% reality TV.
A few years ago, I decided that I was going to not be buying clothes just because I felt social pressure to do it. I now wear my clothes until they wear out or they don't fit anymore. Yeah, if they don't fit, I send them, take them to the op shop. If they wear out and I can't mend them, then they get thrown out.
Yeah.
But I've stopped just buying stuff because of the pressure of having to have a new outfit. And like every now and then, a friend will make a joke about me wearing the same t-shirt.
Yeah.
Many times I'm like, fuck it. I don't give a fuck. It's a t-shirt. It looks good on me. It's not got any holes in it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wear it because I like it. Yeah. I feel like the clothes side of stuff I wouldn't be too bad with. Although I do have another whole wardrobe full of drag.
What's it called? Isn't there a term for it when you just buy like heaps of cheap clothes? Is it fast fashion?
Fast fashion.
Yeah. And then that's when you're just constantly buying, but it's all really crappy materials. That's and then they just.
Yeah. So I've been trying to buy quality stuff that lasts.
That's good.
And
like
good,
better quality.
The environment, like, I mean, the working conditions of the people that are making it without wanting to get too deep and off topic. But there is also, as well as a environmental downside to fast fashion, a huge social downside to fast fashion as well.
And I feel like with buying all of that fast fashion, you end up with a lot of stuff. Like mentally, it can create a lot of anxiety in people to sort of sort out all of that stuff because it just becomes so overwhelming that you're just like, oh my God, I have so much crap in here. I'm just going to put it off to another day and not actually deal with any of it.
So do you think part of the trick would be then to take this process, implement it, but then be conscious of not just filling all of those gaps that you've just made in the house and not going out and buying a new outfit every single weekend for just putting it into the wardrobe and piling it back up again?
Yeah, I can be very messy in my room. I can be very messy everywhere else. No, I think everyone has like the chair in your room and you just pile all the washing it gets out of control.
Yeah.
I usually use the excuse of when people come to visit, then I clean. Yeah. So if it's just me looking at the mess, it's okay.
When I went to Kyle's place for pre-drinks for Midsummer Carnival Day, him and his brother gave me a tour of the house. Where we got to Kyle's room, Kyle's like, this is my room. And his brother goes, it doesn't normally look like this.
Shut up, Tarrant. Bastard. Yes, it does. Just don't ever open the cupboard or you will be crushed.
Yeah.
So I'm not watching the show, but I am going to get Duncan to read the book because I'm just learning things indirectly through him.
Yeah.
Like he's at the moment, he's barefoot investing me and helping me with all my finances, but I didn't have to read the book. So if I just get him to read the book, my life will benefit from it. Right. So yeah, this is a great method for me so far.
Shame you didn't know him in year 12 when you had to do your book reports.
He would have been great for that.
Yeah, and I feel like financially implementing these things definitely helps. Like not going out and buying heaps of crap. To what you said, like just filling it back in again.
But also, do you think you would be losing a lot of money by throwing away heaps of stuff that is, like, should you be selling it?
I mean, a lot of people aren't throwing it away. They're either donating it or selling it on, which is good because you don't just want to throw your stuff away. Like, that's not great.
Waste.
Go into
do you
landfill.
Op shop?
Yes, I op shop. I love a good op shop.
I've never set foot in an op shop.
Really?
Not once. I know. How unnorthy.
I love op shopping.
Especially for drag outfits. It's so good.
But also just like, you can get a really good quality old school jacket for winter.
Oh,
like a really good
but someone's like died in it.
No, no way.
That's so creepy. It's probably haunted by like...
Someone probably died making your t-shirt.
I prefer that.
they're
tiny
you
little fingers.
We're taking
Nikes.
You up shopping. We're taking you up shopping.
Yeah,
are we,
sure.
Are we going to get into... What's your favorite?
Savers at Brunswick. Yeah.
Also, I like going to the
Northside is one giant op shop. Just saying.
I only like going to the ones that aren't affiliated with like religious organizations.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which is the one that bad one?
Salvation Army. Yeah, no, I don't do some like. Bad stuff. There's another one called like Heart of Something. I can't remember, but that's
Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart something of like something. Yeah.
Savers is really good. Money goes to diabetes. Mm-hmm. The Epilepsy Foundation have some great options as well. Oh, I can't wait. We're gonna play Barbie dolls.
Can we have like a girls just want to have fun like video montage?
Yeah,
and be, like trying on outfits.
Sure. Totally.
I've got to say though, like me in an op shop, all the like little like trinkets and stuff. I love looking at those, and sometimes I'll find that my basket is full of them. them and I'm just like, okay, I don't need any of these.
See, but the thing is, I don't have a problem with you buying those and putting them in your house for a year and then giving them back to the op shop because it's not creating more waste. You know? It's like getting recycled.
Like renting.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah.
I think it's really cool with this show that like it's sparking in a lot of people like just to think about not just like not just like your household things, but like just stuff in your general life that actually bring you joy.
Yeah,
and like
it encourages you to just take that moment and just appreciate what's in your life. Yeah, I think that's the really good thing to take away from the show.
I'd like more of that.
Like, am I happy doing this thing, or like, do I enjoy this person's company? Yeah. Or
Mikey,
like,
what sparks
joy for
you?
Maybe that's why Luke's not here. Yeah,
we started early, everybody. What sparks joy for you, Mikey?
My boyfriend, for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh. He's a very big part of the reason why I'm a lot happier in my life and with who I am now. And a lot of the newer friends that I've made in the past sort of 2 years that have all just been really joyous to be around, which is great. And like people that like, add stuff to my life.
You're talking about us, yeah.
bitch, if I'm not on this list.
Of course you guys. What about you?
My dog. Since I got Albert, so he's nearly 3 years old actually. Mm-hmm. You have to come to his third birthday. No. It's been great for my mental health. Yeah. It is great having some responsibility. It's great just having like a little companion that follows me around and loves me unconditionally, and I love him. Friends, obviously. Mm-hmm. My bed. I love fresh sheets on your bed. Yeah. Like, there is nothing better than lying in bed. Yeah, I love my bed. I'm not throwing that out, Mary.
Yeah, well, you need that. It's a necessity.
What about you?
So many things as of late. Obviously, my wonderful boyfriend, Duncan, sparks a lot of fucking joy in me.
Yeah, and a lot of other men that's good as well.
Spark wood. No. And I've made some great, great friends while being in Melbourne. I love where I live. I love my relationship with my brother. I love my workplace. I work with like the coolest people ever. I'm really happy at work. I have joy going to work. Just that's really important. Yeah. Like, and it's really affected everything in my life, and I feel like everything's coming together really well, and I'm very joyful.
Yeah. I think this is sort of stuff that everybody needs to start talking about more, because a lot of people sort of focus on the negative things that are happening in their life and just forgetting about all the other positive things that are going on, and just be thankful.
Yeah, I have a friend who like will just interject in conversation and just be like, name three things that made you happy today. And like, it's really nice. Yeah. You just reflect and you're like, you know what? Let's not like stop the complaining. Let's just actually say some nice things.
Valentina. Oh, so Miss Valentina
It's not her Valentina anymore.
No. She's just been voted off All-Stars Season 4.
Spoilers.
If you haven't watched it,
that's on
get
you.
Up to date. What are you doing? How does everybody feel about Valentina coming back to All-Stars 4, considering how she did on her season, which I don't know if Tom has watched.
Look, I have watched her original season.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you have some knowledge of Valentina.
I watched the lips where she tried to lip sync.
It was iconic. Yeah. Iconically bad.
I did watch that season. I did start watching this All-Stars, and I got like a few episodes in. And I have had adult things to do and just not watched it.
Oh, shade. Okay, well, we just lost like half our listeners.
Jerk. I've been busy. I've been watching the new Star Trek.
Yeah,
I'm turning into a Trekkie.
Oh, God. That's my role on this podcast. Stop it.
But please tell me what chaos, what brand new thrilling things are happening in the world.
I like the judgy look you have on your face.
No, I'm sure it's so different to everything else that's ever happened on that show.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have my reservations about her coming back, especially with her performance on her season, and the way she left was just like, oh, come on, girl.
It was
like,
such when in her original season, it was such outrage when she left. She was the front runner, and everyone was really voting for her to win, and she was annihilating every challenge after like one after another. And her looks are really, really good. Yeah. So it was a big shock when she wasn't prepared and lost that challenge.
You got a point actually. In her season when she was on, when she got kicked off with that lip sync thing, I was like, okay, that was silly, but you tried to get away with something and you didn't get away with it.
She thought but then she could sail through.
But then it was the reunion episode where she made Farrah cry. And if you make Farrah cry,
my God.
I actually love Farrah.
Yeah, me too. And
it is not hard to make Farrah cry.
I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But she was
but like they were actual friends.
Yeah. And she was like, you were my friend and you didn't stand up for me with all this bullying and all that sort of stuff. And then the other girls joined in and I was like, I hate her. Yeah. And she was my favorite before that.
That's it. When she came back into All Stars, I wasn't really about her.
No,
there were way better people. Like, I think Manila is so much cooler.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I wasn't really paying attention to Valentina, but nah. I actually think this season she's let more of her weird, quirky personality show through.
And I'm more of her delusions.
So been here for it. She's so funny. And her weird, she absolutely is living in a world of her own.
Oh, absolutely.
Without eyebrows.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize her without
she
eyebrows.
She looks like a turtle supervillain with no eyebrows.
Yeah.
So good.
But I just love her weird, quirky little mannerisms. And every time they walk into the workroom, she has like a weird like look that no one's paying attention to. And she just like drops
Hello.
Her coat. And everyone's like, what are you doing?
Oh, okay, I have to go watch it.
Go watch it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I think as a person, she's definitely grown a lot. How she interacts with other people and how she interacts with her fans online as well. Yeah. Because a lot of people came for Latrice when, spoiler, sorry if you haven't watched it. But when Latrice voted for her to go off, everyone was like coming for her. And Valentina actually stepped in and was like, look, that's the name of the game. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, I wasn't the best on that day and I got sent home. Wow. I wasn't sad about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks that I didn't get to win, but you know what? I walked out with a crown anyway.
Yeah. It's like in my fantasy. Yeah.
Like, I love how she says that. It does sound like she's sort of learnt that online actions have real world repercussions, which is something that people seem to learn as they mature into adults. But from the stuff that happened in the first season where she was sort of getting away with, you know, supporting her trolls.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's good that she's changed her attitude with that.
Also, can I say how absolutely fitting for her that she left wearing a crown because she is the queen of her own universe.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the confidence though. I'm for it.
I'm all about the confidence.
Yeah.
And like seeing how she has been on this season, I don't think like it matters that she won or not, because like
she won in her own fantasy.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And like she is such a big presence now. And like was it 2 days, 3 days ago, she was in Rent, the live version.
I didn't really read much about it just except for that she was in it.
I feel like I'm a really bad gay because I haven't actually seen Rent.
I don't know. It's Rent though. I've never seen Rent. I just know everyone dies. And is that there like 525,000? Is it that one?
500 minutes.
Oh, God. Tom's back in the game.
Someone wants to live in daylight, in sunsets, in midnight, in cups of coffee.
Okay, I don't know.
Thank you. Sorry.
We just had to throw you a bite. Yeah.
But no, from the clips that I did see of her on stage, obviously doesn't have the best singing voice, but the confidence and the performance was there.
Yeah. Like, and I love how she only performs in Spanish, like Spanish songs.
Yeah,
that's pretty fantastic. Cool. That's very true.
But I think she's just going to have an amazing career regardless, because she is such a lovely, confident, bubbly person who has a crazy personality now. Obviously didn't win as many challenges as what Ben de la Creme did, but Ben de la Creme was another one that didn't need to win the season to be a winner.
I love Ben.
Good on you for like being like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't need this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, feel very similar with Valentina.
I read that she left seventh again, or like she was top seven. Is that the same for both her first season and her last season?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's not getting worse. But I mean, it's like the same thing. No, she's better for sure.
And is it Valentina that's just recently come out and said that she's non-binary?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great.
She has, which is fantastic. Good on ya. And going on from that, have y'all seen...
Forget Valentina. We have new queens to think about.
We love you, Valentina, but there's a new bunch that we need to speak about. Have you seen the intro promo for season 11?
No, Tom is like glazed over. It's like, there's a season 11?
Yeah, so...
Right, it just doesn't die, does it?
It will not.
So Aquaria was the MC for the introduction, which was really cool. She looked incredible.
I read that she was... I never watched her part, but I heard she was really awkward.
Oh, yeah, she was super awkward.
But she was awkward. That was
She looked amazing, as always. So they did what they did with season 10, and they did like a runway introduction. So like they called each queen up, they did their runway, which was really cool. So they announced 14 new queens, but then they also announced a 15th queen, Miss Vanjie.
Oh, I know her.
Yes.
Now, there's someone that's done well out of misfortune.
You know,
eliminated in the first round and one of the most quoted things.
The most iconic exit.
I actually have no idea of whether she's a good... Like, I've never...
I remember seeing on Instagram people at like football games or whatever yelling Vanjie in the... Yeah. Like,
but she's been booked solid since then. Yeah, absolutely. Because of that.
How good.
Just one fucking line.
I hope that that's all. Like, I hope people book her for gigs and she just gets on stage and does that.
Angie and then leaves.
Like, that's what you pay for.
Yeah. But she looks so good. She and looks I love stunning. That she looks so pretty and then sounds like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm convinced it's Pitbull in a wig. Like, oh my Mr. Worldwide.
I love it. Yes. She looks absolutely incredible. I'm so excited to see how does. I hope she gets further than the first episode, but we'll see.
Who was your favorite? My favorite besides Vanjie was Soju.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So cute with the freckles.
Love Soju. So Soju does a YouTube series called Drinks with Soju, I'm pretty sure it's called.
Because Soju's like, it's a Korean
vodka. Which is delicious. They have so many different flavors. But so she does a show on YouTube that reviews RuPaul's Drag Race, which is very interesting considering you're going to be on it now.
How awkward. You got to bring
everyone's going to be reading you, girl.
Do not go home first. That will be very awkward.
My other front runners are Ariel Versace, which I've followed online for quite a while now and seen her progression. I'm just like, yes, you are killing it. I'm so glad you're in it. She's like a life-size Barbie doll, giant hair, and also plastic tiara. Oh my God.
She looks like a
fishy woman. Yeah. Like all about it. Like gorgeous Asian. Like just, love her so much.
And he looks good as a boy too.
Yeah.
I saw pictures. Yeah,
him and his boyfriend. So cute. Aww. Like, I'm so excited.
I think people are saying she's the new Valentina because she's possibly, like really pretty and really good looks.
Well, she is the youngest as well, and she's only 25, so it is a bit of an older cast.
Tom will be happy because, like, Tom likes the older ones.
Oh, get stuffed.
Sorry, Tom is the older one.
But it'd be very interesting to see how this season goes.
Well, at the end of the day, the real winner is always RuPaul.
That's it. As if he gets someone to cry and it's on camera, you the winner, bringing in the dollars. Let's go.
So we're all done. Thank you so much for listening. This is actually coming out again, as we repeat, on the day that we have our live show. Yes. So you'll be seeing us later if you are a true fan.
Well, yeah.
If you got tickets, or if you don't live in our city, Melbourne, let us know if you want to see a live show. We might be more. We might travel. Who knows? Yeah. Make us big.
Can
please.
Travel.
Looking
for a host.
We're hosting now, but we'll hopefully travel in the future.
Don't forget to check us out on social media. We're at Gaze Revolting on Twitter. Search the Gaze Revolting on Facebook and, of course, Instagram at Gaze Revolting Pod. And if you are coming to the live podcast tonight, don't forget to think of your Q&A questions after the show.
Be kind.
That's it. Please be kind.
I have make a few too questions awkward. For you.
Oh, no. You don't get to ask.
So next week, our episode will be a recording of the live show. So if you don't make it, you'll be able to hear it next week, which is super exciting.
How exciting.
Yes. Yay. See you all later.
See you later.
Bye.
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 Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.